Hey, everybody. Thanks for tuning in to our weekly podcast here at First United Methodist Church, Murfreesboro. I'm Cliff Wright, the senior pastor. I hope this week's message is meaningful and inspiring to you. If you'd like more information about how to get connected at FUMC, you can visit our website, fumcm.org, or you can check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at FUMCBurrah. I also hope you'll consider joining us at one of our four weekly worship services at 8:30 and 11 a.m. on Sundays in the Sanctuary and the Family Life Center. First United Methodist Church is a warm and welcoming community of people committed to the mission of growing disciples of Jesus Christ who know Him, love Him, and serve Him. I hope this week's message helps you in your own personal journey towards knowing, loving, and serving Christ in your life. Him is so perfect for our scripture lesson and our sermon this morning. Fear not, I'm with thee, O be not dismayed. For I am thy God, and I'll still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, and I will help thee, and I'll cause thee to stand upheld by my righteous, omnipotent hand. That's a part of what we're talking about this morning from a great, great old story. It's one that I know a lot of you are familiar with this morning. Growing up as a small boy, I've told you before, my parents had a little picture Bible, big picture Bible. I used to thumb through that before I could read. One of my favorite stories in the Bible was the story about David and Goliath. I loved it because there was fighting and killing in it. I love that. I still love it. Still one of my favorite stories, but I like it for a different reason now. Not the fighting and killing. It's different. This is a whale of a story. This is a story that got lessons for us that we can apply in every area of our life. I've listed two verses this morning, but actually I want to go back. If you've got your Bibles open, we're in the 17th chapter, the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, and I'm going to go back earlier in that story, kind of put some things in their context. I'm going to start with verse 31. I'm not going to read all the verses, skip around a little bit, but I'm starting with verse 31. Here's what's just happened. David is the one who stepped up. David is the one who has stood up and said, I tell you what, I'll go fight Goliath. I'll go. I'll do it. And this is what's happened. Verse 31, when the words which David spoke were heard, those words, I'll go, they repeated them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant, talking about Dave, talking about himself, your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're just a kid. You're just a youth. And he's been a man of war from his very youth. But David said to Saul, your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear and took a lamb from the flock, I went after him and I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. Skipping to verse 37. And David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go, and the Lord be with you. And Saul clothed David with his armor. Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head, his helmet. He clothed him with a coat of mail, his mail. And David girded his sword over his armor, and he tried in vain to go, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, I can't go with this stuff. I'm not used to them. And so David took them off. Skipping down to verse 45, then David said to the Philistine, You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And then the two verses that we've listed this morning, verses 48 and 49 as we close. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag and he took out a stone and he slung it and he struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the ground. Word of God for the people of God. Thank you. You may be seated. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? And now, God, either through me or in spite of me, you speak to these your people. It's in your name we pray. Amen. David confronted a giant named Goliath. Took him on. You know, it's an interesting thing about life. There are times for all of us, aren't there? Times for every single one of us in the sanctuary this morning when we are called upon to confront giants of life. There are times for all of us when we're called upon to confront the big issues, the giants of life. David was called upon to confront a giant named Goliath. You know, one of the things I've discovered going back to this story, studying it again, one of the things I've learned from this story is that not all giants are named Goliath. Did you know that? David was called upon to confront a giant named Goliath. You and I, we're called upon from time to time in our lives to confront the giants of life, but they're not all named Goliath. You know that. Some of those giants are named death. You ever had to fight the giant of death, the death of somebody you love more than life itself? Some of those giants are named sickness, illness, cancer. You ever had to deal with that? The giant? Some of the giants of life are named disappointment, uncertainty. Have you ever had a time where you didn't know, you had everything planned out? If you're like me, you had everything planned out, and then something happened, and then you didn't know. You were uncertain. That's a big giant right there. Some of the giants in life are named conflict. You ever had to deal with that giant? Conflict, change. That's one that a lot of us don't like to deal with, but life is full of change, challenge, the giant of challenge, the giant of, well, they come with a lot of different names, don't they? In our church, you know, we've adopted growing disciples of Christ to know Him, love Him, and serve Him as our mission statement. That's what we're called to do. Jesus said, this is why the church exists, to go make disciples. That's our challenge, growing disciples. That's a giant. Because sometimes it's hard to do, growing in our own life, to grow as a disciple in our own life, to not stop, but to keep growing, and then to help others grow in their life. There are all kinds of giants. Here's the deal. We're all called, every single one of us, we are called at times in our lives to confront the giants of life, whether it's on an individual life, in our family life, in our marriage life, in our work life, in corporate life, in church life, in school life, you name it. There are times when we're called upon to confront the giants of life. How do we do that? That's one of the reasons why I've grown to love this story. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible, because David was called upon to confront a giant, and we can learn from David. We can learn lessons from David from our scripture lesson this morning that we can apply in our life in those times when we're called upon to confront the giants of life. Here's the first thing I think we can learn from David this morning. When David was called upon to confront the just giant named Goliath, the first thing that we learn from David is that David stood up. David stood up when everybody else was sitting down. David stood up to take him on, and he didn't pay attention to the no votes. That's really important. This is one of those important lessons. David stood up. Do you remember the story? Do you remember how it started even before the lesson that I read to you this morning? Here's what's going on. Goliath would come out, this giant Philistine. And Goliath would come out every morning and he would taunt those Israelites. He would come out every morning and he would say, "Hey, which one of you big babies thinks you've got enough courage to take me on?" He would do that every day, every day, every day. He would taunt those Israelites. Have you ever had a big issue in your life to taunt you? It's kind of interesting how they can do that. You know, the giants of life. Things that we got to deal with, things that we're confronted with. Oftentimes it's things we don't want to deal with. We don't want to deal with them. But they taunt us. "You going to deal with me? You going to deal? Here I am. You going to deal with me?" That's what was happening. Every morning, Goliath would come out and say, "Hey, who's going to take me on?" Every morning, "Who's going to take me on?" And morning after morning after morning, nobody, nobody, nobody. Finally, one morning, you know who stood up? You know who stood up. David stood up. And David said, "I'll take you on. I'll take you on." And you know what they said? This is really interesting, this story. What they said? They said, are you kidding? Really? You know what the Philistines said? They said, "Seriously? Seriously, are you kidding me? This guy, even the Israelites, they couldn't believe it. Wait, what? David? Surely not David. David said, yeah, I'm going to take you on." It's an interesting thing. You know, one of the things that we think about David is, and this is important in our lesson this morning, we think about David as being this mighty king. And he grew to be a mighty king, but that was later. You know what David was doing at the time of the writing of our story? He wasn't a mighty king. You know what he was doing? He was the armor bearer for the king. Now that sounds important, doesn't it? The armor bearer for the king. You know what that literally means? It means he carried the king's luggage. That's what it means. Little David carried the king's luggage. In other words, David was nobody, and David stood up. You know what happens to us? Does this happen to you? Because it sure has happened to me. There are times in life when there are these issues out there, these things that are right in front of my face, and there are times when I think, well, the big dogs, the big dogs need to handle that, right? The big dogs need to handle that. David wasn't a big dog at the time of the writing of this story. When this story was going on, David carried the king's luggage. He said, "I'll do it." It's one of the things I think so powerful about the Living a Better Story experience. What we're trying to learn from all of this is that we can all make a difference. Every single one of us can make a difference in our part of the world. Everybody can do something. We can all stand up. Here's the deal. David stood up. He stood up. And he wouldn't pay attention to the no votes. It's really important in our lesson this morning. He wouldn't pay attention to the no votes. As soon as he stood up, there were those out there. The other Israelites said, "What? What? You? No way." I mean, they couldn't. You read the story. They couldn't even watch. They thought the slaughter was going to be so great. They couldn't even watch. His brothers, they hid their eyes. And even Saul in our lesson. Listen to what Saul says. Verse 31, "When the words which David spoke were heard, they repeated them before Saul. And David said to Saul, let me go. Let no man's heart fail because of Goliath. Your servant will go and will fight this Philistine." Here's how Saul responded to that. Verse 33, "And Saul said to David, you aren't able to go against this giant." Why? Because you don't have what it takes. Why? Because this is what he said, "You're just a kid. You're just a kid." You ever heard that? "You don't know enough. You're not good enough. You're just a kid. You're too old. You're too young, too old. What difference can you make? He couldn't get, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him. You're just a youth. And he's been a man of war since the time he was knee-high. He grew up a man of war. You can't go." How did David respond? David said, "Let me show you. Just give me a chance. Just give me a chance. And David stood up and didn't pay attention to those who were telling him no. Listen, you know what I've learned in life? I bet you've learned this too. There are all kinds of people that won't say no. There are all kinds of people that won't say you can't make a difference. And there are all kinds of people that won't say you can't. There are all kinds of people that won't criticize. You've noticed that, I bet. There are all kinds of people who want to say, church can't make a difference. Why are we even messing with that? All kinds of people are going to say to you in your life, you can't make a difference. So just don't even think about it. David didn't pay attention to the no votes. He didn't pay attention. I'm trying to wrap my head around social media. I've been trying to do it for a long time. You know, I think my wife just wants me to give up. I'm trying to be hip, and I'm trying to get into it, and I'm kind of getting into it. But what I'm trying to do is trying to figure out, is it a good thing or a bad thing? And my answer is yes. Yeah, you know, there are times when it's a great thing. There are times when social media is a great thing. I mean, you can use it to witness. You can use it to be a positive influence. You can find out a lot of stuff. It can also be a terribly negative thing, this whole social media deal. The world's full of people that want to get on social media and complain about other people that are standing up. They're not standing up. They're sitting behind their computer complaining about those that are standing up. You know, I got to thinking about this story. What if they'd had social media back in the day of David? You know what I think? I think they'd have been all over it saying, God, can you believe this little guy out there? He can't make any difference. You know what David did? He didn't pay attention. He didn't pay attention to those who said it couldn't be done. He didn't pay attention to those who said the church can't make any difference. He didn't pay attention to those who said you can't make a difference. He didn't pay attention. He didn't pay attention to the no votes. I was talking to one of our fellow members, one of your fellow members, this week, came by my office with an idea for living a better story, and you're going to hear about it. You're going to hear about it. I came away. I was so excited. I'm still excited. It's going to be something that's could indeed involve our whole church, but it's about getting out. It's about getting out there. It's about getting out there. And this is what he said to me. He said, it's what I've learned from the study of Matthew's gospel. He said, I think if I'm understanding you right, he said, it's what you've been teaching us about Matthew in our Wednesday Bible study, that we're not called to stay in the church. We're called to go outside the church. He said, is that right? I said, yes, that's right. And he gave me a quote. Maybe you've heard this before, but I've never heard it before. And the quote was, the church has strayed away from being fishers of men and has become, instead, keepers of the aquarium. Whew. Man, that's a great quote right there. The church has strayed from being fishers of men to becoming keepers of the aquarium. So you know what I did? I went home. I got on social media. I looked it up. I looked it up. That's a great thing. I looked it up. Oh, who said that? You know what I found out? A whole bunch of people have said it, but I traced it back to Paul Harvey. Now, somebody before Paul Harvey may have said it, but Paul Harvey is as far back as I went. Paul Harvey, speaking to a group of Christians one time, said, the church has strayed from being fishers of men and has become keepers of the aquarium. You see what he's saying? And basically what he was saying was, we need more Davids. We need more Daves. You know what I've learned about this church? I haven't been here long, but I've learned this about you guys. We got some Davids. In fact, we got a lot of Davids, male and female Davids in this church. People that are willing to stand up. Listen, you've come to me and you said, I want to stand up. I want to stand up. I want to stand up and I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. Keep challenging us to stand up. Here's the deal. We need more people that are willing to stand up and be Davids. David stood up. There's lots of giants out there. You know what? Here's what another member of this church said to me after finding out what I was going to preach this morning. They said, you know what? If we had more Davids, there'd be less Goliaths. You can write that one down too. If we had more Davids, there'd be less Goliaths. We'd stand up. David stood up. He didn't pay attention to those who told him he couldn't do it. He didn't pay attention to the no votes. Here's how he did it. It's the second lesson from our story this morning. David made the commitment to be who he was. He made the commitment, first of all, to stand up, not pay attention to those who said he couldn't do it. And the way he did that was by making the commitment to be who he was. He had to be himself. You got a giant that you're going to fight in your life. You got to make the commitment to be who you are. You can't fight it like somebody else is going to fight it. You can't do it the way somebody else has done it, individually or in your workplace. It's one of the worst mistakes that churches or corporations or any other organization can do, is to find out where somebody else was successful and try to be them. You can only be who you are. Look at how it said in our story this morning. David goes to Saul. He says, I'll do it. Saul says, you can't do it. David said, I'm going to. You watch me. And so finally, Saul consents. And Saul says, Saul clothed David. Saul said to David, go ahead. He can tell he's going to go anyway. So he says, go, and the Lord be with you. But then he says this, then Saul clothed David with his armor. Now notice the flow. David has said, I'm going to do it. Saul said, okay, all right, you're going to do it. The Lord go with you. Then look at what he does. Saul clothed David with his armor. This is Saul's armor. He put a helmet of bronze on his head. It was his helmet. He clothed him with a coat of mail. David girded his sword over his armor. And this is, look. Get the picture here. Here's what happened. It says, and he tried in vain to go. David couldn't even walk around in this stuff. It's just swallowed him. He can't even take a step because he was not used to them. So look at what David did. David said to Saul, I can't wear this stuff. I can't wear this stuff that's your stuff because I'm not used to them. I love this short little sentence. And David put them off. David took them off. David couldn't wear Saul's armor. Do you know why? Because David wasn't Saul. David couldn't wear Saul's armor because David wasn't Saul. Look, this is David's teaching us one of the most important lessons of life. When you're dealing with your issue, you got to remember who you are, and you got to be who you are. We can learn from other people, but we can never be them. Now, this doesn't, listen, what I'm saying this morning, this doesn't mean we can't change, okay? We got to be who we are. This doesn't mean we can't change. God is wanting us to change. God is wanting us to grow. This library of books teaches us that over and over. He wants us to grow in our discipleship. But we grow into the best me that we can be. God wants me to grow into the best me that I can be. He wants you to grow into the best you that you can be. But I can't grow into you, and you can't grow into somebody else. When God made the acorn, He made the acorn for the purpose of growing into a mighty oak. Not to stay an acorn, but to grow into an oak. But He didn't make the acorn to become a rose bush. Are you with me? So you got to be who you are, and you got to do it. You got to do it your way at your age and your stage of life. You got to remember that God has created you. God has created me. God's created us, and He's created us in a certain way, and we're all different. It's another great thing about living a better story is He doesn't want us all doing it the same way. He wants you to do it your way. But God has created you a certain way. He's created me a certain way. When God created me, He wired me a certain way just like He wired you a certain way. He didn't wire us all the same way. When God wired me, He wired me up a certain way. I'll give you an example. Our ministers, we've got to go on a retreat for the next 3 days. The bishops is calling us. It's a retreat Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. We leave in the morning. Some may be leaving tonight. I leave in the morning, because I love retreats so much. So I'm waiting to the last minute. I'm waiting to that, you know, and I think God's okay with that. So I'm waiting, and I'm going to get there. Several years ago, when I was serving down South Louisiana, we had a retreat. Bishop called a retreat. It was required for all the ministers to go to. Only this one had an addition. It was a fasting retreat. Now, let me just say that again. It was a fasting retreat. We're going to be there 2.5 days. We're going to get there one day in the afternoon, and from the time that you got there, that day until the time that you left, you couldn't eat anything, only drink water. And right before we left, then we were going to have this big meal and celebrate together. But from the time you got there on this one afternoon, you get there, couldn't eat anything for supper, just drink water. All the next day, the whole next day, no meals, just water, whole next day. Then the next day, nothing for breakfast. We get to lunch, we finish the retreat, have a big meal. That's the way it's supposed to go. That's the way it's supposed to work. When God wired me, when God made me, He made me with a certain metabolism. I didn't create that metabolism. God just made me. I've been trying to gain weight my whole life, which makes some of you sick. I know that, but it's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. I've never been able to gain weight, and it's just my metabolism. But here's a part of that, having that kind of metabolism. Look, guys, I got to eat something every 6 hours. Are you with me? I got to have something to eat every 6 hours so that, you know, it tides me over, you know, for my in-between meals that I have in between those. I have in between those times. And if I don't, listen, I'm telling you, I'm in danger. I mean, I really am. I'm going to pass out. And I know what some people are saying. They say, Cliff, you're missing the whole point of fasting. Fasting is so that you can focus and meditate and concentrate on God. That's what fasting is all. I get that. It's just that I focus and meditate on God a lot better when I'm conscious. Are you with me? Instead of passed out on the floor. So look, I gotta have something to eat. And so I'm whining and complaining like I normally do. And I said, well, what in the world am I going to do? And Amy, my wife, my sweet wife, said, don't worry about it. I said, what do you, don't worry about it. I'm going to go to a retreat and die. Amy said, no, you're not. She said, just go in there and pack. Just go in there and pack. I'll take care of it. Now, Amy takes care of a lot of stuff. So I'm okay. So I go pack. I get my stuff. When I get my stuff ready, I'm loading up in the car. She's got this great big baggie for me. Actually, it was two of them, two baggies. In one baggie, she had it filled with raisins and nuts and fruit, raisins and nuts and fruit. And I love that stuff. She said, look, just sneak this in. Just sneak it in. Hey, that sounds great. But here's the problem. You can't live on raisins and nuts and fruit alone. Okay, I don't care what they say. You got to have some nourishment. All right. So in the second bag, she had Snickers bars. And I was like, okay, hey, I'm good to go. So I snuck it in. I snuck in my stash. And we get there. And here was the way it worked. And they would say, we're going to have breaks. And so we're going to take a break. And what's going to happen is during the breaks is you're going to go out into the woods, and we want you to meditate on God. Take a break, go into the woods, reflect and meditate on God. See, that's another thing I don't get. I don't get the woods business. Are you with me? It's just the way God made me. I don't get the going out into the woods. Don't people know that there's spiders and snakes and ants and stuff out there in the woods? That's what lives out in the woods. You know, go out in the woods. You know, to me, that's just insane. And I know some of you right now, you're really upset with me because here's what you're thinking. You're thinking, hey, that's where you're the closest to God. See Charles over there nodding his head? That's where you're the closest to God. Listen, I'm happy for you. Good for you. I prefer an air-conditioned room where there's fruits and nuts and Snickers bars. Are you with me? So they said, go do this. Here's what I would do. I go to my room, and then I would chow down. And I'd chow down. And it helped me reflect on God. Last day, we get together, and I'm not making this up. I mean, there were people, and they were glassy-eyed. There were some of them glassy. They couldn't reflect on God. All they could think about was food. That's all they could think about. They were glassy-eyed. I had some of them come up to me, and they said, whew, man, I think I'm about to faint. I said, yeah, I feel you. Yeah. Why am I telling you this? Here's the reason. See, some people grow that way spiritually. That will work for some people. Are you with me? But God didn't make us all the same way. When we've got to fight the giants of life, you've got to do it your way. You've got to do it your way. I remember a guy years ago. He lost his wife. He loved his wife. He'd loved her for years, loved his wife. And he lost his wife. And shortly after that, he started dating. I'm going to tell you, you'd have thought he had robbed a bank. I'm serious. You'd thought he'd robbed a bank. People said, can you believe it? It's only been however much time. He's already out there dating. I thought, you know,
Who decides that? Who gets to make that decision when it's right? On the other hand, then another person, they went through a divorce. They decide they didn't want to date anybody. They didn't want to see anybody. People were all over them. You got to get out. You got to meet somebody. You got to do. Says who? Who wrote that book? Who wrote that book and said you got to do it that way? Tell them to mind their own business. That's what I say. Tell them to mind their own business. You got to be you. We've all got giants. You've got them this morning. How do you deal with them? First of all, you stand up and do something. You don't criticize other people that are doing it. You don't complain about other people that are doing it. You do your deal. Don't pay attention to no votes. Here's how you do it. You got to be who you are. Here's the last lesson that we learned from David this morning. He remembered who he followed. He stood up and didn't pay attention to no votes. He remembered who he was. But most importantly, he remembered who he followed. And because he remembered who he followed, he knew he was going to be with him and he would see him through. Listen to how our lesson says it this morning. David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And when there came a lion or a bear, it took a lamb from the flock. I went after him and I smote him and delivered it out of his mouth." And then David said, "The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine as well." So you see what he's saying? God was with me then. He's going to be with me now. He was remembering who he followed. Then David goes out to fight this giant Goliath. And David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord." Look, it looked like it was one-sided. Goliath comes out. He's bigger. He's mightier. He's stronger. You ever had to fight a giant? It just looked like it was bigger, mightier, and stronger than you. Bigger, mightier, stronger. He's got a sword. He's got a spear. He's got a javelin. What's David got? You know what David said? "You come to me with your sword, spear, javelin. I come to you in the name of the Lord." He just remembered who it was that he followed. You got to remember who you follow. Years ago, Amy and I were in Jackson, Mississippi. And there was a guy in that church named Joe. Joe was a building contractor, and he was good. Joe was good. He was good at it. The problem was, it was in one of those down periods where there wasn't any building going on. And Joe was a young building contractor. He was a young guy. Young guy, young wife, two young children. And I'm going to tell you, there wasn't any money coming in. Can you relate to that? There wasn't any money. There weren't any jobs. That meant there wasn't any money coming in. And Joe was waiting for the phone to ring. And the phone didn't ring. And Joe was worried. And word got around. Joe was worried. Finally, he got a call one day, a building project. Everybody was happy for him. It wasn't a big building project, wasn't a big building, but you know what? It was something, and it meant a check, and it meant that he could care for his wife and his children. Word got back to me that Joe said no. Joe turned it down. I was shocked. Joe's been waiting for the phone to ring. Phone finally rings. Joe says no. So I ask. I said, what's going on? This is what they told me. They said, well, the building that they wanted Joe to build was one of these, I don't know how to describe it to you, except it was one of these, they say it was one of these adult buildings. You know what I'm talking about? It was an adult, that's the way they described it. It was an adult building. You've seen the signs. It was an adult building. Pornography, that's what it was. And so all Joe had to do was say yes. Now, they weren't asking Joe to patronize the building. They weren't asking him to be a customer. They were just asking him to build the building. Build the building, you get a check. You get a check, here's money for your family. Joe said no. So I went to him. I said, "I heard you said no." He said, "Yeah, I did." I said, "Well, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you, Joe." He said, "Yeah, It was tempting. Whew. Man, it was tempting. He said, I need a job. I need a job. Things are getting slim, preacher. I need a job. But I said, no. I said, Joe, why did you say no? And this is what he said. He said, preacher, I remember a day when I was a teenager and I walked down the center aisle of the church. And that day, I gave my life to Jesus. And I said, I was going to follow Jesus. And if I'm going to follow Jesus, I couldn't build that building. And he took out his stone and he put it in a sling and he threw it and it hit the giant of temptation and greed in the forehead, and the giant fell over dead. In the name of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.